Dr. Jeff Edelston, after purchasing on Wednesday the Sydney Swans for more than $6 million. Naturally, he was in Melbourne today to see his side in action against Carlton at Prince's Park, and Peter Donegan wasn't far behind him.
Well, Doctor, the big day's finally here after what must seem an eternity of waiting. How does it feel?
I'm very nervous and exhilarated and looking forward to it. I really hope we can knock Carlton off.
Well, there's a couple of points out of that. I wish you'd talk more like Peter Landy when you introduced Tom Brown.
I wish I could too.
On your sports report. Jeff Edelston sadly passed away age 78 in Melbourne on Friday. He was a huge name in football there for a period of time, took over as a private owner of the Sydney Swans and made them the hottest ticket in town. Tony Moore was a part of it and he's been good enough to join us. Okay, Tone.
Good morning, Gary, Tim.
Very nice to talk to you. What are your memories? We would have a whole audience listening here this morning. Some would be very well aware and know the story. Others wouldn't realise how big a story it was when Jeff Edelston took over as the private owner of the South Melbourne and then Sydney Swans Footy Club.
Well, it was quite significant because, obviously the relocation from South Melbourne to Sydney in those years of 82, 83, 84, 85, and then the unknown future of the club, where it was going to be, and the first, I suppose, dipping your toe into the water of private ownership, which was something that none of us knew what it was going to be like, how it was going to unfold. The VFL at the time were probably looking to follow the American way, private ownership in sport, but it was an adventure, absolutely an adventure. And what it did do is that the Swans at the time had struggled to get media exposure in Sydney, and when Jeff, the doctor, came on board, that turned around, and suddenly being in eighth pages into the back of the paper, suddenly on the front and the back and provided immediate exposure, which we had never been able to gain before.
Hey, Tony, good morning to you, but just tell us about the bling and the excitement that he brought to the Sydney Swans back in the day.
Well, I think that there's two things. One, there was obviously excitement and, he was clearly a little bit out of left field in regard to how he marketed himself, which was totally different than his personal personality, which was really quite quiet and shy. But, you have a helicopter, the Swanettes, all of that was important, certainly in regard to Sydney, because Sydney liked winners. But what was more important was the recruitment that he went on in bringing, obviously, Jared and Diesel, Tui, Bolton, Edmund, Neagle, and Merv. Merv and I were really good friends, and Merv was, Tim, was an outstanding player and one of the most important players that ever played for us at the Swans.
Why was he so important for you back then, Tony?
I just think that He provided a bit of flair in regard to the way he played, but he was just naturally tough and aggressive. And I just know that for me, I felt that whenever Merv was in there, we're always going to be competitive as a team. And obviously, the first couple of years, we were a very good team.
You talked about the Doc before, and there was everything around him was sort of hyped up, and the pink helicopter, his lifestyle, the way that he dressed. But I bumped into him a couple of times. He was a very shy man, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He was extremely shy, and so we all have different personalities and what makes us tick, and certainly with Jeff, something happened because he was a very accomplished doctor. He was on the honour board for medical at hospitals and universities. So something else had took him down this path, whether it was his association with a guy called Pritchard in the marketing. But he just wanted to be seen to be up there. And I think I think that was the start of sport and football becoming entertainment. That's where that crossover really commenced, I think, with he coming into that phase. But, one story, in 1985, he'd just been announced as the owner, and so my contract was out at the time. And I know I got a phone call to come for dinner with Jeff and Leanne. So my wife and I go out for dinner at this restaurant in Sydney on the harbour, and the reading the menus, and I can remember the entree was about the cost of a main course now, Tim, and I'm whispering to my wife, well, I hope we're not paying for this, and next thing you know the bill comes at the end of the night, and he keeps on pulling out all this cash from every side of his jacket, and this pocket, and this pocket, and this pocket. And I'm thinking at the time, I've made the right call here. I'm gonna sign wherever.
Impressive. Hey, 86. I'm looking at this. The ladder. You finished second on the ladder. You've had 16 wins and 6 losses. And you lost the first final to Carlton, and then Fitzroy rolled you. And then in 87, you finished third, 15 wins and 7 losses, and didn't win. I don't think you won a final there either. Which of those was your best chance, do you think?
I think 86, Gary. I mean, 86, we certainly would have made a grand final in 86, because what people won't remember, and people are too young, is that it wasn't a national competition, so we didn't get home ground advantage to play in Sydney. Mm. So all of the finals had to come to Melbourne.
That's right.
And also, in the last home and away game of the year in 86, our centre-half back was our captain, Dennis Carroll, did his knee. And so he went out. And so whilst we performed well in the two finals in Melbourne, we lost them both and we're out in straight sets. But that would have been the year that I actually could have seen us win it all. But that's where it is. And, you know, the interstate advantages, interstate, having a home final was certainly an advantage, as it is, and as it is playing at the MCG for every home game for all those home teams. It's an incredible home advantage.
Yeah, no, those stories get lost in the telling, don't they? That's a very good point. Just as we let you go, Tone, would Sydney... South Melbourne / Sydney have survived if Jeff Edelston hadn't come along?
No. I mean, it was at the time I was young, and now I fully understand the business model, the business case around it. Without the support of certainly the VFL at the time and the state government in regard to development and funding, it didn't have the membership base of just be able to survive and the cash flow to do that. So in the end, the club is in a really good space. It's still the one entity, and that's, I think, that the club has to be seen. And, you know, when they left South Melbourne in 1982, there was 3,800 members. And membership wasn't big in those days, but I know that the club has 50,000 to 60,000 and 12,500 in Melbourne. So... you know, I think it's whilst it was a very tough time for a lot of people, I think it's been the right call.
Hey, Tony, we really appreciate your time this morning. I'd have to dispute one part about that, about them not surviving without Edelston, because our good mate Steve Talbot says that the Sydney Swans would not have survived had it not been for his contribution.
Well, Tim, Torbo and I are good friends, and you know that. I used to live around the corner from him. And so we know whatever Torbo says, you cut it in half, then divide by 50%, and then go another 25% off. Then you'll get the truth.
Hey, Tony, thanks so much. Great to hear your voice. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Good to see you, boys.
Thanks, Tony.
397 goals was a very, very good footballer.
He was.
Good footballer. God, he could play. But there's some perspective. Sydney / South Melbourne without Jeff Edelston.
Unbelievable scenes there were when he arrived up there in Sydney, in the pink helicopter, the lifestyle, the dress, the flamboyancy that he brought, the fact that he had them on the front page, had them on the back page. Everybody was talking about him and his team, and Leanne and the Sydney Swans. It was an unbelievable time in football to be involved in the game.
Big show. His legacy there will live forever.